Don't be alarmed. The quasi-shimmering light before you is a trans-dimensional gateway to other worlds, other voices, other thoughts, and other realities. Up feels like down, and down feels like the number 7 on a Wednesday morning. Don't worry. That quivering, blood-boiling sensation under your eyebrows is all a part of the charm. Welcome to the PCC Multiverse.
And we're back with the PCC Multiverse. Gerald Glassford coming right back at you here. Thanks so much for watching and listening. Truly appreciate it. Please, if you can out there, check out all of our great shows, including, of course, Lakers Fast Break, Inside Sports Fantasy Football, of course, the Pop Culture Cosmos, the State of Pro Wrestling, PCC Multiverse, and more. And please, while you're there, like and subscribe to get the latest notifications so when we go live on the air with the latest Pop Culture Cosmos, Inside Sports Fantasy Football, whatever you go ahead and do, please go ahead and do it with us right here at the Pop Culture Cosmos. It is greatly appreciated. But it wouldn't be a PCC Multiverse without my good friend. She is the mastermind behind much of what they are doing at, of course, the Wizards and Wine with Wild Beyond the Witchlight. And of course, everything that she's doing today in the world and realm of RPGs. It is a good friend indeed. Please go ahead and check out all of her work today and support what she and her awesome husband, Ross, Robbie Ross, are doing with Vampires and Vitae. It is Melinda Barkhouse Ross. And Melinda, great to have you here. I know you're working hard with everything that you're doing for V&V, for Wizards of Wine.
W&W, yeah.
Yes, Wizards of Wine with your new adventure you just started at the beginning of this year. So, yes, definitely great to have you here, my friend, and looking forward to a great conversation today.
Fantastic. I mean, no pressure also.
No pressure, none at all.
No.
That's right. So it has been a little bit, it got a little bit slow last week as far as it's concerned, outside of what was going on with the WWE, but things are starting to pick up here. So I'm looking forward to having a great conversation with you. But have you been catching up on pop culture lately, you know, since it's been a little bit slow
this time
of the year?
I've been doing my best for you, you know, which, you know, I get sidetracked so easily. I'll start by watching a trailer, and the next thing I know, I'm watching one of the actors from like 15 years ago in a random movie that I've never heard of before. And for some reason, that feels important. So.
Melinda.
I'm sorry.
What are you going to do?
I should not be alone. I need adult supervision at all times.
Yes, that's true. But it's like me when I was going through college, you know, you're working on your project work. Well, I need a little bit of a distraction here. Let me just go ahead and check out YouTube for a little while. Okay, 2 hours later. Oh, I think I better get back to my term paper. Yeah, there you go.
Yeah.
There you go.
Yep. That's my night in a nutshell, like every single night.
I will tell you, though, that there's a lot of great things to talk about this week. It's come down. I do want to mention the box office. Get your nice quaff, Henry Cavill style, ready, because Argylle has hit theaters from the makers and the director of the Kingsman franchise. It is now out and about in theaters. It is about the story of a writer who writes spy novels, very close to what's happening in real life. And so she is tracked down and pursued by evil forces. Then it goes into a big story from there. Has a lot of big stars. Are you planning to check out Argylle with Henry Cavill and a whole plethora of stars as well?
I feel like I would lose my humanity card if I didn't go see Henry Cavill in theaters. I feel like I would be just generally in trouble with the universe somehow.
Okay, fair enough indeed. But yeah, just wanted to make sure everybody knows about Argylle. It is not getting the best of ratings, but you know, depends on your style. If you're into the Kingsman style, Matthew Vaughn style of directing. Shenanigans indeed. So definitely check that out if you're interested. Argylle is one of the biggest features to come out this year. So go ahead and check it out today, wherever you get your movies. But it is going to be a great show. We've got a lot to talk about, including, some things going on with PlayStation, tit for tat. Xbox recently had a showcase. PlayStation had a state of play. We'll talk about that. Plus also as well, of course, Netflix had a ton of things that they showcased off here recently in the past week. All their new shows. But what was missing might be of bigger news than what is going to be shown off in on Netflix in 2024. Plus also, is Melinda going to build a theme park? We'll find out as she and I talk about Universal Studios plans to go ahead and go wild on a new theme park coming up here in this show today. But my friend, first off, it is PlayStation State of Play. Happened earlier this week. A lot of people are talking about it. Just ran through. It was not, in my opinion, as concise and neat and tidy as Xbox's presentation. It's, you know, they did about, 13, 14 different things that they showcased off. It had its mixture of good and not so good. But still, the question remains, I you know, when you look through all the stuff, what was exclusive and what was not? I mean, when it's clear, it was clear on the Xbox showcase what was exclusive and what was not. Only one game they showed off is not an exclusive right now as it stands. With PlayStation, you're just not quite sure. But again, you know, it was there's some really good things about it. And I definitely want to go ahead and discuss that on the show today.
Sounds great.
So what did you like first off? When it came to the PlayStation State of Play.
Well, to be completely clear, I didn't catch the whole thing. I've caught, some trailers of a few games here and there, and ones that I found interesting, not knowing much of a background or a backstory on a lot of the games. So please bear with me for a moment. But Rise of the Ronin looks super interesting to me. I think you said it was from the people who made BioShock, so it kind of looks a lot like that. Sorry.
No. Ghost of Tsushima.
Yes.
We'll get to BioShock and Ken Levine here in a minute, but that was probably one of the most interesting detailed of Rise of the Ronin, as far as something that looks pretty good. It's going to be available on the PS5 March 22nd, so it definitely will have that Ghost of Tsushima action RPG element right there, so definitely looking forward to that. I want to go ahead and mention, though, that probably everybody that did get to watch it is checking out Death Stranding 2 on the beach. So I want to ask you this. Death Stranding from Hideo Kojima, one of the most eccentric game directors ever. If you are familiar with the Metal Gear Solid series and the flying whales and a whole bunch of other crazy stuff that this guy did, I mean, WTH, WTF, what's going on here? I see all that on social media whenever he brings out his videos, and God bless him. You know, he just doesn't give you a 1 minute trailer and there you go as far as it's concerned. He gives you like a 9 minute long mix mash of what's coming up for you, Death Stranding 2. But does it make any sense? No. But does it really need to? With the cast that it has, the fact that it's just Kojima being Kojima, crazy as all you know what.
Yeah, it certainly piqued my interest, and I'm definitely curious about it. But yeah, I have no idea what that game is about.
I mean, it's got like a little puppet hanging from Norman Reedus, and the puppet's like in stop motion where everybody else is a fluid 60 frames per second. So that's a little different. Then you got a little baby, that's still the same thing from the previous Death Stranding, like in this container, that's still, people are just like going, what the heck is still going on with that? Then you got the one of the evil bad guys voiced by Troy Baker. He has a guitar. This guitar shoots things out of it and then becomes a guitar sword, and just weird stuff going on. The visuals look great. I do like the fact that the motion capture was pretty picturesque, and I appreciate that aspect of it. So whatever it is we're going to be seeing is going to look good, even though it's going to make you scratch your head most of the time.
Yeah, I don't know that this is one that I'll pick up out of the gate. Like, I would probably grab Rise of the Ronin like right away. This one, I think, It's going to be one of those ones where I'm continuously going back and searching the title and watching the trailer. And then, I mean, eventually you'll get a chance to watch other people playing the game and stuff like that. So it may make things a little bit more clear. I am curious about the game. There's no question. So if that was the job of those 9 minutes, then it was successful.
Yes. It won't come out though until 2025.
Yeah.
So you have plenty of time to decipher everything that's going on and also pick up Death Stranding. If you want to go ahead and play through the first one, it is, of course, Death Stranding 2 on the beach. It'll be coming in 2025. Hideo Kojima, as he mentioned before during the Game Awards, that he's doing a project with Xbox. I think it was QD or something like that. He is also doing a project with PlayStation. So yeah, that's going to be very interesting because that's also going to be an espionage type game that I think a lot of people are looking forward to. Something close to what he used to do with Metal Gear Solid. So I believe everybody is going to be excited for that when that comes out probably in the year 2035. So yes, definitely look for that. Oh, not that long, mind you. But still, when he announces it now, do not expect it for quite some time because he's still got Death Stranding 2 to do. So right. We'll see what happens. But yeah, nice pickup for PlayStation there. One of the things I want to mention is that The Last of Us 2 remake or remaster, I don't know why they needed to feel the need to do that, but they did, and they released it earlier in January. Now they're doing a remake of Until Dawn, which was a hit less than 10 years ago. So I guess you could say, you know, you shine it up and make it look nicey-nicey, but really it was a very good-looking PS4 game, so I don't know how much better you're going to make it look as a PS5 game. But okay, whatever. All right, you go for the money. All right, there you go. Your thoughts on Until Dawn, which is actually going to become a movie at some point in time as well. It did get greenlit because, you know, God forbid you'd want to do it out of Mass Effect right behind me, which I will mention.
Yeah, that wouldn't make any sense at all.
No, people that wouldn't make any sense at all.
Not asked for that movie at all.
No. And the fact that you just, you know, released a movie out there, you know, that has a killer swimming pool, you know, God forbid you would want to actually make something like a space opera that people would actually enjoy and love. But, you know, it is what it is. Yeah. But what are your thoughts on Until Dawn, a remake for it, and also a movie coming out for it as well?
Well, I mean, I think with the television success of The Last of Us, I think that it makes sense that more of the same kind of genre sort of feeling things are being explored that way. So I'm not surprised. I'm honestly a little bit more surprised that we haven't just had like a wave crushing us of, you know, those kinds of adaptations right out of the gate. I'm surprised it's taken this long.
Well, don't wait too much longer. Kalo is coming back next week. I'm so thrilled.
I keep purposely forgetting about that one, Gerald.
Yeah, so do I, but I got to go ahead and cover it anyway. So, yeah, Halo season 2, yay, coming to Paramount. Hopefully it's a lot better. Yeah, well, Halo was season one was one of the worst things of the year that I covered, I think, of 2022. So, yeah, it's definitely not something I'm looking greatly forward to because you know how much I enjoy Master Chief. I've got right above me, and yeah, unfortunately, the helmet's on there, and I'll leave it at that. For the latest news and information, analysis, and opinions on the Los Angeles Lakers and the NBA, check out the Lakers Fast Break podcast today on wherever you get your podcasts. There are some other things that were mentioned at the PlayStation 2024 State of Play. It is Gerald Glassford along with Melinda Barkhouse Ross. Thanks so much for watching and listening. Truly appreciate it. It's the PCC Multiverse. I want to go ahead and ask your thoughts about VR. PlayStation VR 2, it has underperformed. It has been something that PlayStation has kind of forgotten about after they released it, which they do a lot with their peripherals.
Yeah, true.
Hint, hint, Vita, but I will say, and there's rumors now that there's going to be another handheld coming at some point in time. I'm like, my God, you haven't stuck with the PSP and the Vita, and you want to do something else in the handheld space. Okay, whatever. But Metro VR, Metro has been a very popular first-person shooter, especially within the realm of the PC, and it's now coming out with Metro Awakening for PSVR 2. But you said you were going to have some interest in getting a PSVR 2 down the line. Your thoughts on getting into VR? I have been opposed to VR on this show for quite some time. I just think for what you're getting and throwing on goggles and the kind of experience you're getting, it's just not where the technology needs to be. But hey, maybe Apple's Vision Pro and whatever at $30,000, excuse me, I'm sorry, $3,000 will get it for you. But your thoughts on PSVR 2?
Well, I mean, I know that that price tag is a shocking price tag, but the way that Robbie and I have been looking at it is, you know, you don't want to get left behind in the technology. So even if these, you know, early iterations of VR are not what VR is going to continue to evolve, because I do think that it's going to go in a different direction. I think your goggles are eventually going to be more like glasses or even a contact lens that you can pop in, things along those lines. But that's purely speculation. I don't know.
Musk is already implanting chips in people's brain. Why not?
Yeah. I mean, other people have been doing it for like a decade, but that's fine. So I think that some of the reasons why we want to get them really lie in, we don't want to become the old people who ignored technology as it was developing. And now we're so far behind that it's going to take a lot for us to get caught up. So, you know, I do know that the $500 price tag is cost prohibited, really, for about everybody.
Yeah.
Yeah.
On top of a PS5, you need to power it.
Exactly. Yeah. It's wild. So, you know, that alone is enough to make people second guess going into it. But I do think that, you know, VR and augmented reality, even that is the way that society is going, I think. And I think that, you know, if you find the right one that you yourself feel comfortable kind of investing in just to learn the tech and learn how to use it properly, I think is going to be helpful down the road. So I guess it's a learning implement at this point, as much as it is an entertainment piece in a very strange way.
Yes, I agree. I definitely agree. And, it, you know, it's something that I eventually may get into, but right now I'm just getting it. I'll get into it kicking and screaming per se. I just want to see something easier for the consumer, that you don't have to put on heavy goggles that are all quartered up. I know Apple, it's funny because you talked about how Xbox was advertised before every PlayStation trailer you saw.
Yeah.
Right now, when I'm checking out the news and I'm scrolling into Metro VR, right alongside it is their competitor Apple Vision Pro ad right there
funny. For you.
So yes, yeah. Exactly right there. But it is, of course, PlayStation State of Play. I do want to mention something. BioShock creator Ken Levine's latest game has finally been announced. Actually, it was already announced, but actually got a really good first look at it. Judas.
Mm-hmm.
It is still not going to come out for quite some time. I think 2025. It's also for that one as well. But it is very BioShockian in its first-person perspective. Your thoughts on Judas? Because it really looks like something where Ken Levine could be getting back to his BioShock roots.
Yeah, there were two games that you know, before we went on air that I was talking to you about, and Judas was the second of the two. So it looks super crazy and super weird, but like in the best possible ways. So it has intrigued me enough just from the trailer to pay attention to when the game is coming out and things like that. I don't know if it's one that I'll invest in, but it's definitely one that I'm curious about.
I just recently picked up the BioShock series. I played the original and BioShock 2. BioShock Infinite, I only got a taste of at the time, but I recently repurchased all three for $8 combined. So I thought that was a really good deal. So I'm going to be going through that again. Definitely want to go ahead and make sure that I spend some time with that before I hit up Judas on that. So definitely going to be very interesting to see what Judas does. But Sonic and Shadow Generations, another Sonic game. Wow, what a new year, new Sonic game, or two, or three. So your thoughts on another Sonic game? I mean, Sonic is just the wannabe Mario that never dies, my friend.
It seems
Sega will never let it die, my friend.
Yeah, I think that's more true than anything else. Yes. I think that it's I don't want to say it's a straight up money grab, because I do think that they are doing it for an audience. I'm just not sure who the audience is.
Yeah. I can't agree with you more on that. So
yeah.
We'll see what happens with this new Sonic game that's out there. Will it come in time for Sonic the Hedgehog 3, which was just reported that Jim Carrey will be reprising in some form or fashion, Dr. Robotnik, once again. So we'll see. I know you mentioned earlier the Last of Us TV show is just announced also as well. Catherine O'Hara, for all you Canadians out there, is going to be in season 2 in a mysterious new role. So curious to see what happens there. Indeed.
How exciting. I hope she brings fabulous fashion and a weird accent.
We'll see. Definitely see. But
no, that would be the incorrect tone. And she's much better than that.
Never know where they go in The Last of Us. But Dave the Diver, just a big hit last year, big indie hit for PC and Xbox. That's finally making its way to PlayStation. Helldivers 2, that's going to be coming up here next week. That got a good look. Just a lot of decent stuff out there. But the thing I wanted to go ahead and stress most is I don't know how much of this is exclusive or not exclusive to the PlayStation. So it kind of didn't make that clear. And that's something that I think people just need to go ahead and understand is that, when you showcase some of these multi-platform games as your own entity, and then it comes out the same week on a rival, Nintendo, Xbox, PC, it takes the buzz out of the game for thinking that you might have had an exclusive on your hands for PlayStation.
I mean, when we decided to get the PS5, we didn't get it because of a list of exclusive games.
Mm-hmm.
Do you know what I mean? I mean, I guess I'm not enough of a gamer for that to really matter that much in my decision about which console I'm going to pick up.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, I just don't think that really factors into the decision. I went PlayStation because I've always been PlayStation and I will probably always be PlayStation. I just understand it. I don't know how to explain it. I know that there are some games that I'm looking forward to that are going to be Xbox exclusive, and that's a little bit disappointing to me, but I certainly didn't buy my console based on what games were exclusives.
Okay. Fair enough indeed. Yeah. But I will say, though, that with that, though, the PlayStation, their 2024 looks okay. Mm-hmm. There's some things to look forward to. Again, the Silent Hill stuff that came out, Silent Hill 2 remake, is finally going to be on its way at some point in time this year, I believe. And then also there was a Silent Hill type free-to-play game that they announced alongside with it that did come out, that they dropped. Final Fantasy VII Rebirth, that also was... if you're in Final Fantasy and keeping up to track, that's launching in the not too distant future as well. So there's some things to look forward to that they announced. A Stellar Blade. Before we go ahead and move on to the other topics, Stellar Blade was something that I don't know. It had a big part of the showcase, but I'm not sure if it looks that good from Atlus.
Interesting. How come? What was it that was not jiving for you?
The visuals did not look super good, I want to say.
Sure.
That's
fair.
The makers of Persona in Persona 3 is out, actually. That's out conveniently right now. So definitely want to go ahead and plug that. So I don't know. If it's something where I just think that some of the visuals may have been or could have been better. But then again, it's going to be a PlayStation exclusive, and hopefully we will get to see more looks at it in the future, and maybe I'll get a better opinion of it. But yeah, when I'm looking at the fight scenes and looking at the things as far as that's concerned on it, it looks pretty good, but I wasn't overwhelmed by it, if that makes sense.
Absolutely, and that's absolutely fair.
Yeah. So yeah. There you go with the PlayStation State of Play. Overall, I guess I give it a thumbs up. not a huge thumbs up like I did the Xbox game series game presentation. But again, for people out there thinking that, okay, what has PlayStation got? We saw what Xbox is going to deal with you. What is PlayStation going to bring? They do have a ton of stuff coming out in the next couple of years. But of course, Kojima with his weird stuff takes the cake all the time. But yeah, absolutely just have no clue what's going on at Death Stranding 2. Even if you played Death Stranding 1, you still have no clue what's happening in Death Stranding 2. And I think that's the way Kojima likes it.
Yeah, I think so too. And I mean, what a fun way to play a game.
Yes, absolutely. What a fun play. Norman Reedus, yeah, just going through it. Yeah, just, you know, the visuals on it looks good. And I think that one thing I take away from both the Xbox and PlayStation presentations was when you can really start to connect the dots is the visuals and the motion capture. We're close, Melinda, on photorealism. We're close as far as incorporating that into a game. Not quite there yet, but my gosh, we are getting very, very close to it. Still, emotions are still the hardest thing to recreate on a video game platform.
Yeah, and I think it's because we are, I don't want to say we take, you know, being the ability to look at someone's face and be able to read them for granted, but I think that it's just something that we so intrinsically do as humans that trying to recreate it is difficult. Because we don't understand what it is that I think that we're really reading in someone's face. And I think that that might be a little bit of what's lost in translation.
I agree, my friend. But it is, of course, what we're talking about as the PlayStation State of Play. You have a PlayStation 5, so I definitely know that there's some things there that you're looking forward to. I do also know that Foam Stars was also presented. There's something that you're going to be interested in, Foam Stars, as far as maybe a multiplayer platform for PlayStation Plus.
Yes, it's not enough. There's not enough multiplayers right now. I want couch co-op. I that's what I want. I know it's not in vogue, but it's what I want to do. Robbie and I have fallen into this crazy version of Tetris. That's the weirdest thing. I think it's meant to be played with VR. But I mean, we don't have it. So we've just been playing it on the screen or whatever. And it's really cool. I don't know how else to explain it, but there's like one level will be like a lo-fi beat to it. The next level will be like a bit more of like a techno dance music that plays. And as you're moving your shapes around the screen and, you know, building your Tetris, it adds elements to the music as you're doing stuff. So like you're affecting the music as you're playing it. Really cool. Can't remember. Technotronic Tetris. I don't know. But it's really interesting and really love it. The graphics on it are incredible. And I can absolutely see how playing it in VR would take it to the next level. Cause there would be fireworks coming at you. There's one with gems that swing across the screen. So those would be swinging in front of you as you're trying to build your Tetris. So I just think it's really cool. We've been, stuck on it for at least a week.
Well, there you go.
Yeah. Sometimes the classics, man.
Yes. Sometimes the classics. And I know Foam Stars is going to be their attempt to try and recreate the moderate success on Nintendo of Splatoon. It never reached, I think, the kind of heights I think Nintendo wanted, but it still has been a steady mover for them and a steady producer. And I think they want to do the same with PlayStation and Foam Stars. So definitely see what happens there, but it is PlayStation State of Play. What were you excited out there about PlayStation State of Play? Please let us know anytime you can. PopCultureCosmos@yahoo.com.
What is Planet Cool Stuff? It's your ultimate destination for insightful exploration from the realm of pop culture. Delve into the world of movies, video games, toys, cartoons, and visit with one-of-a-kind creators, discover incredible places, and see historical artifacts. Whether it's a toy room tour or exploring the best of pop culture cinema, Planet Cool Stuff has got you covered. Planet Cool Stuff, exclusively on Jinx Esports TV Canada.
Do you want to hit the heavy news now, or do you want to go ahead and talk some more fun stuff before we hit the heavy news?
I don't know. I mean, let's hit the heavy news and then we can end on a light note.
Okay, fair enough, Belinda. Okay. It came over the wires just as we were starting up, unfortunately. And it's just so crazy because we just see him in a commercial that's going to run, or a commercial series going to run in the, or was going to run, it may not now, during the Super Bowl. But I want to pay our respects to the great Carl Weathers, who passed away on the 30th of January. And it was just announced by his agent that he passed away at the age of 76. And Carl Weathers, who, you know, from Rocky to The Mandalorian to Happy Gilmore to The Predator, so many memorable roles from him. And just absolutely sad to hear that he is no longer going to be with us. Whether he's playing in a serious action or comedic role, he was always someone that I did admire and truly want to express our deep, heartfelt condolences to his family at this point in time.
Yeah, absolutely. He's definitely one of those actors that I think when you're watching them on the screen, they embody the character so much that the next movie you see them in, you're like, oh, Apollo Creed's in this movie. Dope.
Yes.
You know what I mean? Like, he just seemed to be able to walk in the skin of those characters. And, you know, what an incredible talent.
Absolutely incredible talent. And he's just truly going to be missed. Once again, Carl Weathers has passed away at the age of 76. And definitely a sad note for a great actor who has charmed and enlightened and entertained millions for decades. So, yes, very tough to see. And, yes, like I said, he had a new Super Bowl commercial that they had already started airing in ways as far as the setup for the Super Bowl commercial. Whether or not they aired or not remains to be seen. But, yes, all respects to the Weathers family on the passing of Carl Weathers at 76. But once again, it's the PCC Multiverse. It is Melinda Barkhouse-Ross, along with me, Gerald Glassford. Thanks again so much for watching and listening. Truly appreciate it. We did talk about the PlayStation State of Play. Let's talk about another company that's dominating the headlines that decided to release their 2024 tentative schedule for the rest of this year with a ton, as always expected, of shows, movies, content that they released out in small bit form in a montage trailer, and that was Netflix. 260 million subscribers strong. Definitely looking forward to seeing what they have in the future. Okay, they're coming out with a whole bunch of stuff. Was there anything that you saw outside, of course, Squid Game Season 2, which is the headliner?
Yeah. I was just going to say.
Yes, that's the headliner. You and I still pat ourselves on the back to this day because we caught on it earlier than almost anyone here in North America on it. I remember that episode you and I recorded that, hey, you know, this Squid Game thing looks pretty cool.
I do remember that conversation. That's so funny. Yeah, we were early on that.
We were very early on that. And then it became a craze like a week later. It blew up and it's just like, oh my gosh. But yeah, Squid Game Season 2, that was the headliner. A ton of stuff with very notable actors alongside of it. But is there anything else that stuck out to you as far as that's concerned?
Well, I mean, and, you know, I may lose a little bit of cred here, but I am a Bridgerton girly, so I'm looking forward to season 3 coming out, which is May, and then they're doing the part 2 thing, which happens in June, which is so annoying. Mm-hmm. I'm over that. I'm done with it now. I don't want to do that anymore. Let me see. What else? Obviously, Squid Games we talked about. I haven't watched Sweet Tooth at all. Maybe I'll watch that so I can get caught up and be ready for season 3. The Umbrella Academy season 4, the final season, that's coming. That's exciting. And I'm really interested.
Cobra Kai. Why are they canceling it? It's so popular.
I don't know what it is.
Why are they ending it, I should say. Canceling is probably a strong word for it, but they are giving it a final season like the Umbrella Academy. I don't get it. I absolutely don't get it.
Yeah, that is unusual. But it seems like Netflix, above a lot of other streaming services, will do that. They'll pull the plug on something that, you know, from our point of view is very, very popular, and it doesn't make sense. It doesn't seem like a good decision, but somehow they're still doing their thing.
Well, they don't want to do anything like Law and Order, you know, like 20 seasons in. I do want to mention that Sam Waterston is leaving the show. It was just announced after 20 seasons, so he is gone. But yeah, I guess they don't want to do anything that's long, NCIS, Law and Order, dragged out like that for that many seasons. But man, sure would be nice to go ahead and get some more Cobra Kai other than what we're going to get here later this year. But yeah, that's just me. Kidding.
Yep. Oh, Vikings Valhalla, we're getting a season 3 this year. That's exciting. That's a great show if you haven't watched that and you're in the mood for swords.
Now, Rebel Moon Part 2. Zack Snyder's attempt at recreating a space opera that's not named Mass Effect. I am going to watch it. Again, I thought the first one was popcorn. Popcorn predictable, I should say. It was
That's fair. I think
it was light, but you and I and the neighbor next door watching it probably all knew what was coming up around the corner, the twists, the turns, the stuff that went on. But it was a nice visual spectacle for what it was, and I'm curious to see what happens for part two going forward, and if they decide to extend that universe even more, Melinda.
Oh, gosh, we almost didn't talk about it. We would have been yelled at by people. Arcane Season 2 is coming out in November.
Of course. Like I said, I tried to get into it twice, but I do appreciate for the art style that it is, and that obviously it got a 10 on IGN. I remember that distinctly, and it was considered one of the best animated series out there. If you are into League of Legends, or even if you're not, you know, it is something that I think that will get a lot of people back involved with it, season 2. So yeah, definitely looking forward to that. Although that means that probably in 25, your fave Blue Eye Samurai would be season 2 for that. So
yeah, I would imagine I can't imagine it coming out this year. That seems wild. That's too fast of a turnover for that good of a show, you know? Well,
I watched a critique on somebody that just caught Blue Eye Samurai that absolutely loved it, but the same critiques that I had. So I'm not the only one as far as, my gosh, it's supposed to be a conclusion, but instead they were setting up for season 2, and it was kind of that. Outside of that, again, truly absolutely brilliant series, Blue Eye Samurai. Please go ahead and catch it on Netflix. It's very adult but very good. But yeah, you got plenty of time, because I don't see a season 2 until 2025. But yes, Arcane, and you know, their animated studios have got a ton that's coming out this year for 2024. That's to be expected. But a lot of other things that are coming out, including a revival of the Beverly Hill Cop series with Beverly Hill Cop Axel F. I don't know. Do you really think that lightning can strike twice in a bottle for Beverly Hills Cop this time around? I mean, I worked on Beverly Hills Cop 3. And we saw the declining returns for that. I remember doing wire removal on that as far as the company I was working with at that time at Special Effects. You know, I don't know. It just seems like, I mean, I guess you could bring it out now because it's decades later, but is there still a place for Beverly Hills Cop in 2024?
I mean, I think it really depends on the story that they're going to tell.
Okay.
You know, I think that there's enough nostalgia, and we seem to be like really, I don't know that this is the polite way to put it, but it seems like we're kind of pigs for nostalgia right now. We want things to feel good again. And I just think that the state of the world, everybody's like, ugh, I don't want to talk about today. I want to talk about 30 years ago, 40 years ago. Oh, yeah. So old.
I lived it, Melinda. I know. Yeah.
Whoa. So yeah, that's a whole thing. I think that it's going to be, I think it'll be fine. I think that Eddie Murphy will deliver on some laughs. I know he was already upset because they were going to try to have, the character, I can't remember his name. I apologize for that. But they were going to have him wearing the same jacket that he was wearing from the '80s. Yeah.
Yeah. The Detroit Lions jacket.
Yeah. Yeah. So they were going to try to make him wear the same jacket. And he's like, you mean to tell me in 40 years, this man never bought a new coat?
Exactly.
Which I understand, but I also feel like it is kind of iconic to the character, but I don't know. I'm not in any capacity anywhere close to the people who make those kinds of decisions. So
I do want to mention that Bridgerton, new season there, and also as well Outer Banks. Those are things that obviously people are looking for as well, especially Bridgerton, the way it sizzled up the charts in the first time around, the first season. Swoon-worthy, I think, is the Netflix phrase. I mean, whoever came up with the word swoon-worthy and Netflix deserves like a big raise.
Yeah, I agree.
So funny. Are we swoon-worthy?
Well, it depends. If you're really into video games, yes.
Okay. All right. There you go. I'll leave it at that. Avatar, The Last Airbender, the live action adaptation. Here we go again with more live action adaptations from Netflix. So we'll see what happened there. It's been touch and go on that for the first a few times they've done it. Black Doves and Three Body Problem was something I think I wanted to see because that's a nice science fiction-y looking movie or series. Mm-hmm. So definitely looking very interesting, but overall, some really good things that I've seen from Netflix. I mean, is there anything that you can take from what's out there? Is there anything else I didn't mention that's coming up on Netflix this year? Because I'm sure there is. You know, it's not like they produce anything.
Yeah, right. And I'm sure that there are things that are painfully obvious that we just haven't been talking about because this list is huge. I mean, there's Jurassic World is coming. The helicopter heist. I don't even know what that is, but I already want to watch it. Exploding Kittens. How is that being made into a show?
Don't ask. Yes. How is that being made into a show and not good old Shepherd here? Yeah,
Sorry. I don't mean to laugh at your pain, but you've got to see that that is.
I have an open wound. I have an open wound right here. And Melinda is coming by with some salt. Yes. A whole salt shaker.
Yeah, right, pink Himalayan salt at that. Yeah.
Yeah. Oh my gosh. Absolutely. you put some of the hard, large chunk kosher salt on top of it. Yeah. Just to make sure it sits in there for a while. Yeah. Absolutely. Mm-hmm. Gotta love it. Gotta love it indeed. Yes. That is Netflix's 2024 outlook. Again, there's probably a ton of stuff we didn't even mention. So we apologize because there's just with Netflix, you know, that's the great thing about Netflix. They put out bleep. You know, as far as
they really do a lot
of bleep. Now, mind you, some of it may not be good, some of it is good, but it's just out there. They just throw a whole bunch of stuff out there and see what sticks. I was worried about because they were, you know, about a year ago, we discussed that maybe they were changing their philosophy and they thought they'd go to a little bit more quality instead of quantity. And I don't know if that's the case. I still look at the slate and I'm still thinking it's about there's Jennifer Lopez project that she's doing as well. There's a movie that she is Cameron Diaz and Jamie Foxx and that movie that they did together that they had to suspend because Jamie Foxx had his health episode that is coming out. So yeah, I'm not sure all of that is going to be winners. So I'm glad to see that it's just for them. It's quantity over quality.
I mean, even if you're watching a series enough to know that you don't enjoy it, you still have eyeballs on the screen and you're still using Netflix. So they're still happy.
All right.
You know, I think there might be some of that going on and maybe a little bit experimental. Like who would have guessed that something like the Squid Games would have become the hit that it did?
Well, we did.
Well, yes. But I mean, like in the pitch room, right, where you're pitching a show.
We're gonna have this game show thing, and it's gonna like kill off everybody except for one at the end. It's gonna be really creepy, and people. Yeah, I could see that. Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I feel like that show was a tough sell, but I mean, what a fascinating show to watch.
That's true, absolutely true, and I'm just glad to see that there is a lot of stuff that people are gonna be able to watch. But some of the things that they didn't announce for 2024. May make it less attractive for people to jump on Netflix or stay with Netflix throughout the entire year because Stranger Things, Wednesday, Black Mirror also was announced. I don't know if that is coming or not, but those are entities that were not announced for a 2024 release, which is kind of disappointing for people who have waited so long for some stuff, but can't be surprised to, you know, when they were talking about how Millie Bobby Brown has what she started as 11 and now she's like 20. So it's been like 9 years since they've been doing Stranger Things now. So for 5 seasons or so, you know, so I guess I can't say I blame their, you know, or, you know, be surprised at the fact that it's so slow coming out Wednesday, you know, they're not capitalizing on the momentum of it. They're just taking off a year. Your thoughts on all the projects that they didn't announce for 2024 release on Netflix?
Yeah, the Wednesday really doesn't seem, it doesn't feel like it makes a whole lot of sense. But there must be something going on for them to not just keep cranking out those seasons. There must be something going on. I mean, aside from the strike last year, that would have delayed everything.
Yeah, I guess that was mostly affected by it. And of course, Stranger Things as well. So we'll eventually see him and talk about him in 2025. And I'm sure, you know, that makes it more appealing for a lot of people to go ahead and make sure that their 2025 is checked off when it comes to Netflix. So they will be doing the Netflix and chill then. But for now, 2024 still has, I think, some pretty good things for Netflix, although nothing really outside of Squid Game season 2 just makes me want to say, I've got to see that on Netflix.
Yeah, well, you're not a Bridgerton fan then.
I am not a Bridgerton fan. Sorry. I mean, we reported on it, and it's one of our more popular episodes ever when we first reported on it.
It's such a silly, good, no consequences kind of show. You know, it's just, it's so fun to watch. It's like reading smut in public. It feels a little bit naughty, but not naughty enough that you feel like you have to make a confession.
And that's true. And they're willing to go ahead and toe the line more than any other streaming platform in Netflix.
Yeah. Yeah.
As we saw with Blue Eye Samurai indeed. But
yeah, no joke.
It is the Netflix showcase for 2024. You got to go ahead and check out the video. I popped it up on the Pop Culture Cosmos on Facebook. So go ahead, check it out and let us know your thoughts on what you're looking forward to and what you're kind of disappointed in that's not coming out or is coming out in 2024 for Netflix. Please let us know your thoughts. PopCultureCosmos@yahoo.com. If you're in the Las Vegas and Henderson areas and are looking to buy, sell, or trade the best in classic or current video games and pop culture collectibles, there's no better place to go than Retro City Games. From Xbox to PlayStation, Nintendo to Atari, the great crew at Retro City Games provides the best place to go for all your gaming options. Stop by their two awesome locations in Henderson and also the Las Vegas Strip, or follow Retro City Games on Facebook and Instagram for all the latest deals and new items. Without a doubt, there's no better place to go for your gaming needs than your friends at Retro City Games. Well, my friend, before we head on out, and it is the PCC Multiverse, thought we'd go ahead and do a little chit-chat about Universal Studios, which announced this week that they are expanding and building on a huge universe above what Universal Studios Orlando is already all about. I have visited Universal Studios Orlando on two occasions. I enjoyed my time there, but they are expanding, or I think it's going to be an all new theme park is what I'm seeing there. But it's going to open sometime in 2025. It is going to be, its fourth major park in Florida, as far as it's concerned. So it's going to be an actual another whole thing in its entirety. So your thoughts on the different worlds that were announced, a Celestial Park, How to Train Your Dragon, Island of Berk Park, Super Nintendo World, Wizarding, and of course, you know, since they got Harry Potter already, they're going to make a Harry Potter world and a dark universe, because, you know, the movies kind of floundered after the first one, and their plans on doing a Monsterverse kind of went after the money.
True.
So they've still got the rights. Why don't we just go ahead and make a theme park out of it and make a whole cool bunch of monster stuff and a whole world out there. But your thoughts initially, as we talk about this, on this whole expanding Universal theme park, an entire separate entity from what I'm reading, I guess, from the Universal Studios Florida that you already know.
Yeah, I think, my first question, my knee-jerk reaction was, why Florida? Stop it with Florida.
I can tell you it comes down to one word, space.
There's all kinds of, you know, empty areas here in Nevada, so... You know, I'm just saying.
Yeah, but that's a lot of 110 degree heat kind of takes this away. We had a theme park. We had a theme park at the MGM, and that, yeah, it's now a parking structure and a golf park. So that tells you all you need to know.
I guess, though, because this Vegas isn't really a child destination. I mean, as much as they tried to do that at one point. Yeah.
Golf bar.
Yeah. 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 So, okay. Well, okay, fine. So then we've answered that question. Would we put another in California?
Again, it comes down to space. For what they're planning and how much space that they're going to take, from what I'm looking at on the pictures.
Right.
I really don't think you have that kind of space. I mean, Disneyland, I'm sure, would tell you they would love to just expand what they have.
Yeah.
Even more and get it similar in size to the Disney World, you know, all the parks and just the space, the Disney World. They'd love to do that, but logistically and price wise for the land out in California and Anaheim, you can't do that anymore. Because if you go to Disneyland right now, it's surrounded by a whole bunch of stuff and a whole bunch of Anaheim. And they can't do that. So
a whole bunch of Anaheim
is in there because it's smack dab. They put it there and Anaheim built right all around it. So yes.
Perfect. Yeah.
But when it comes down to it, it's going to be hard to find some space in California, but there are other places. You're right. There are other places in North America and the United States that could probably house it. But I bet you when it comes right down to it, it's cost, size, space. Probably be the key why Florida is going to get it once again for this.
Yeah. I mean, begrudgingly, I guess I get it.
But
happier about it.
Just you and Robbie just going to have to fly out to the big FLO.
Yeah, I guess. Robbie, you ready to go to Florida? Yeah. That's why he's my husband. He just went, okay.
I've been, like I say, I went to the Universal Studios Florida. It was a pretty fun day. It's
nice.
It's bigger, a little bit bigger than the Universal Studios here in California. So yeah, that's, you take what it's worth there. But yeah, absolutely. We're looking forward to it. But is there any particular theme parks, of course, in this that you're looking forward to seeing an expansive world of Harry Potter or How to Train Your Dragon? I mean, that's the one I think that did it do so well that you're really going to go ahead and make a theme park out of it? You know, a big section of it, I should say.
And naturally, that's the one that I'm most interested in. I mean, do I get to, like, is it like you picking your wand at Harry Potter? Like, do I get to do that and get a dragon? Because I'd have a dragon over a wand any day.
Well, you get to buy the wands at the Harry Potter land, and they do, you know, you can go to certain places and they you know, in the Harry Potter land, and it does things. Yeah. It's a,
yeah.
Maybe they, you can do the same thing with your Harry Potter wand or at the Isle, you know, at How to Train Your Dragon, Isle of Berk. But yeah, the Monsterverse, the Dark Universe, yeah, that's always going to get people in there because people want to be scared. So you're going to see some scary rides there.
The space one sounds interesting too, though.
Which space one?
Did you say something
Celestial
about the
Park?
Yeah, that's the one.
Okay. That would be the gateway. That's like the Epcot Center. That's going to have a hotel, and yeah, that's going to be like the entry point, I think, for all these worlds. Super Nintendo World, obviously, we know we're going to get there. I mean, they've already had great success with Super Mario Land. This is going to expand upon it. You're going to get probably something from Zelda. You're going to get Donkey Kong. You're probably going to get, yeah, a whole bunch of stuff, cool stuff there. That's the one I think I might gravitate to the most in that. Although I hope they don't enclose it and encase it like they did Super Mario Land, because Super Mario Land, as I told you on the show, is the loudest place in the entire hemisphere. That sound before it travels up and out just sits there, and it's just so loud in there, with just so many people confined in such a small space, making so much noise. So
yeah,
hopefully they can figure it out a lot better this time around.
That doesn't sound like a place that I should be.
It will grate on your nerves, and I'll leave it at that.
Oof, oof, oof.
But before we head on out, Melinda.
Yeah.
Let's say you are designing the Universal theme park. What would you add in there for worlds or a connected universe that would make it more Melinda-ish? for you?
Well, I mean, I just think that they need to sit down and have a really solid think on what they're going to do with the How to Train Your Dragon. Honestly, like, make that so stupidly cool that I can't help but go in and do it. Like, I want it to feel like I'm going in and I'm either, and I'm just trying to compare it to other IPs off the top of my head, but either, you know, doing like the choosing of the wand thing at Harry Potter, or the construction of your own lightsaber with the Star Wars stuff. I feel like the ability to have a dragon selected or have a dragon choose you or somehow figure that out to make that work, I just think that that would be ridiculously cool. And not make it like little cheap little plushy guy. Like, you need to spend some money on these things. They need to at least be, you know, have scales, and they need to be movable and all of that kind of stuff. And they should do stuff.
Yeah, they should
like
do
the,
stuff.
Like the wands. Yeah, they should do stuff. I mean, yes, they can perch on your shoulder or like stick their head out of your bag, or maybe you get the ones where, you know, you set it in your arm or it's sewn to your shirt and you put your hand in it and then you move it around like a puppet, you know, like those cosplay girls do when you see them. I'm a dragon. Right. Anyway, I don't know. I'm apparently very excited about it.
Yes, apparently you are.
Apparently, I can't wait.
Yes, so 2025. You're gonna have to wait sometime in 2025 before it's finally built. I don't know if it's gonna, they're gonna build that quickly, but okay, we'll see. We'll report on it here if it does. But I will say, for me, I would love to have seen added on there, because we're thinking of universal properties.
Yeah,
and the first thing I would go to is Disney, like, for, you know, Disneyland, it's going to be dedicating the next few months and themes as far as for a Pixar theme fest for the next few months over the course of the summer months and whatnot into early fall, where they're going to have a lot of extra Pixar related things going on there, doing through the park. They need to have an Illumination World.
Ooh,
with the Illumination, because Illumination has made them a, you know, a blank ton of money over the years. Not just from Super Mario Land, but the Despicable Me areas. Make a Despicable Me area. Make a Despicable Me rides. You know, do something like that. We'll see what happens, though. It is Universal Studios announcing a brand new theme park with all new worlds. Going to be it built in the Florida area. So we'll wait and see what happens. It looks like it's going to have a 2025 release date, but we want to hear your thoughts on a new expansive world for Universal. Please let us know, popculturecosmos@yahoo.com. Well, my friend, it's been a great episode, but any last thoughts before we head on out?
Yeah, a couple. So we wrapped up the Benoit arc for Vampires in Vitae, which means that Alex from Desert of Shadows, the local Las Vegas LARP group, is now free from the table, but it may not be the last time you have seen him. That's a little insider information right there. Yeah,
there you go.
We have some exciting plans with Alex coming up, so we're all very excited about that. For Wizards and Wine, we are now releasing on Wednesdays. Episode 5 just dropped this week, and I am currently editing the next episode for Vampires in Vitae, which will release tomorrow. And we have shortened the episode length. We had some feedback from our audience that said, you know, maybe instead of 2 hours, could you do like a 45 minute to an hour long episode, and, you know, and then release it that way. So we're going to try that experiment and see if that works for us. It already feels weird editing an hour and then just being done with it. So I think it, for me, it's going to take some getting used to, but it's definitely going to free up the workflow a little bit and allow me a little bit more time to spread the love over to Wizards and Wine as well. So very excited about both of them. I can't remember exactly what happened in episode 5 of Shadows of Larkovnia, but we do have some really exciting and very cool stuff that happens over the next couple of weeks for the Shadows of Larkovnia with Wizards and Wine. So that's kind of really what we've been up to. We've just been, you know, reevaluating and relooking at how we do things and how we approach things. We're listening and we're getting feedback and we're trying to make that feedback actionable to make the show better and for people to have a better listening experience. So that's what we're up to. Go.
Sounds good, my friend. So please check it out. Of course, Wizards of Wine, of course, Vampires of Vitae, today, wherever you get your podcasts. So from Melinda Barkhouse Ross This is Gerald Glassford. Thanks so much again for watching. Listening is truly appreciated. It is, of course, another beautiful day in paradise right here in the PCC Multiverse. We thank you for listening, and here's hoping you have yourself a great